Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We're actually not reporting to you live from Zambia. We're doing a pre-record to send back to Michael so that he can play it for you this afternoon on the Good News Updates. It's the middle of the night in Zambia as you're listening to this, so hopefully we're sound asleep. And we had a whole interview planned on themes that we wanted to explore, and we had planned out who we were going to interview. And as it would happen, we were driving out to Cantalumba today, and someone asked about the word Ubuntu, which is actually not a Zambian word. I think it comes from the Bantu, a Bantu language. So it's spoken more in like South Africa and Zimbabwe. But it's the word Ubuntu is known all over Africa. A very simple definition. It has a lot of definitions, but a very simple definition being oneness. And as Teresa began talking about it and talking about applying it to the project out in Cantalumba, I just had a sense that she was going to begin to speak in that incredibly eloquent, moving way that she does about the project so often. And so something in me had the presence of mind to begin recording. And when I listened to the recording afterwards, I realized, my goodness, this is exactly the themes that we were going to be exploring in the interview. And truly, I could not have asked for someone to say it more eloquently than she already had in this recording. So it occurred to me that we could simply send this beautiful recording to you as the Good News Update. So I invite you to listen to it. The very beginning of the conversation, there's a piece that might not be understandable. She's talking about a saying, an African saying, that one finger cannot pick rice. And so that's what she's beginning to speak about as she talks. So the trip is just going fabulously. We're having an amazing time doing all kinds of fabulous things with the English program and just getting to see the kids again and really getting back into seeing how everything is going. It's a pleasure to be here. Hopefully you're following along with us on the blogs, livingcompassion.org. If you go to the Africa tab and go to trip blogs, you'll see the August 2013 blog is up. By the time you're listening to this, we'll probably have at least two posts live. The first one is already live now. And hopefully you're registering for the BridWalk to walk with us as we support the project for another year in Cantalumba. So we offer that to you, and we look forward to talking with you more when we're back on the ground in the United States. Gasho.
With the help of the other fingers.
Yeah. One finger cannot be...
pick. Like, unless with the help of other fingers.
Got it.
Which comes back to the same thing again. Uh-huh. Of Ubuntu. You cannot do, as Lewis has said, you cannot do a thing on your own.
Uh-huh.
You need the support of others.
Yeah.
So in that you come, just as the fingers cooperate with each other, even as people should join together. And help each other with love, compassion. Yeah, the oneness, and we make a big heart.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So when we say we do something together.
Yeah. And do you see?
Just like Ubuntu, just big one big family.
Yes, one big family.
One big family.
Yes. Regardless of gender, race.
Whatever,
we should be one big family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You would find that on the Ubuntu itself, there's this huge umbrella, then the Ubuntu sign is put underneath that big umbrella. And in that umbrella, there are different types of people. They have put colored Chinese, blacks, whites, all together. And that's where the main theme came from, Ubuntu, meaning togetherness,
mm-hmm.
yes, as one.
And do you see, Teresa, that happening in the project, in the Living Compassion Project, that spirit? Do you see that spirit there?
I see that spirit, Jen, when there's work to do,
mm-hmm.
when there's work to do each and every day, or when we have something like... a mishap which has befallen us, there's that togetherness, that closeness. You can't see it when each one and everyone is busy doing their work. But when it comes to that, if I, being the leader, if I say, let's do this, in a second, that thing will be done. Then I just said to myself, this is togetherness and this is oneness. I can give an example when we had these funerals, First Christopher and Ruben. There was that knitting of together. Everyone was there for Johan. Everyone was there when we went to pick him up and buried him. Everyone was there. No one was missing. And it gave us that oneness. And everyone was trying to cry on my shoulder. So I had to give them a word of comfort that this thing has happened. So let's be strong and do whatever we need to do for him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so important, isn't it? Because it's so, unfortunately, it's common in Cantalomba for people to lose someone at an early age.
Yes. That's very common in our local setup. And the only lacking thing is that people don't practice that oneness, like in our setup in Cantalomba. But we at Living Compassion are doing that, and this is a very good example to them. I've heard people after we buried Ruben saying, "Look at what Living Compassion has done. These guys are really knitted together. They work together. The way they have buried him, it's something which no one can do in Cantalomba." Because in other funerals I've seen, like teachers who die there, they would split up, asking one another, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Some even don't sleep there. But I went to sleep in Joanne's house the days of the funeral. You could never find that coordinator doing that.
Right, that other coordinators of other projects would never be right there with the whole team.
Yes.
Which is probably a big part of why there is such a close knit, you keep using that word, knitted together, a close knit community, because you as a leader model that for everyone.
Yes.
And you said a minute ago, Teresa, that when you as the leader say, "Okay, let's do it," everyone gets behind you. And I saw you do that the other day in our meeting where we were meeting with all the English speakers. And we were emphasizing again how important it is for you as English speakers to model that English for everyone else. And you said something like, I don't know if you remember, but, "Come on, guys, I want us to have one heart and do this together."
Yes. I said I wanted everyone to have one heart. Like the example that I have, people come say that I have this big heart. I don't want me only to have that big heart. I want everyone to have that big heart so that we have one of the biggest hearts there in Cantalomba. If we had that one biggest Cantalomba, Jen, I'm telling you, we'll be on top of this town, the talk of this town, saying the people out there in Cantalomba Living Compassion who have this very big heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to encourage the team to work together as one. They shouldn't put whatever we put on the table that we'll do aside or show it off when you are here. Then when you go, they say, "Whatever." No, I don't want that. I want them to work together as one, just as I put it the other day.
You know, my favorite thing about that is how, because I share your vision, that more as the project gets deeper and deeper and is more and more successful, that... you know, it used to be that Cantalomba people would look down on the people in Cantalomba, but it's becoming the other way around, that it's really becoming, it's a source of pride to be part of that team in Cantalomba. And my favorite thing about what you said is that it's not that there's a ton of money or that we've built some big fancy something. It's because of the heart that's out there. That's why it's working. And I think that's such an amazing model for really all projects everywhere, that what it really takes is a big heart, which we've seen, you know, throughout history. If you look at Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela, it's really the heart that's made such a big difference.
Yes, it's the heart. And the oneness.
And the oneness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That's fun. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you, Jameson.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How
well, that
are you?
Was fun.
I'm homesick.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Michael?
Sherry?
Michael, I lost you for a minute.
You can hear me now.
I can hear you now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was, oh, gosh, that was just like being there. That was wonderful.
Oh, good. Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could hear it okay?
Oh, perfectly.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Perfectly. And, of course, it was great having Jen do a little of her facilitator reflective listening there.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's true the accent gets a little difficult to follow, especially being recorded in a car. My goodness, how gutsy is that? But oh, that was wonderful. Yeah,
it was great. And I'm enjoying reading the blogs too. It's really fun to see everybody over there and how everybody's doing.
Yeah. I don't know how much people think about this, but I think about it quite a lot. That it really is true that year after year after year, we see the same people. And that's just not happening in a lot of other places like Cantalomba around the world, where the mortality rate is so high. And because mostly Teresa's great, beautiful heart and the work that those people are doing and the support from people around the world, they now have a lifestyle that brings that disease and death rate right down to kind of where everybody else's is. You know, that we did just lose someone, it's really uncommon, very unusual, even with the children who are so vulnerable, and not anymore. So people have a lot to be, people who are following along with this project and supporting it really have a lot to feel good about.
Okay, that last bit again. They have a lot to
feel good about.
Feel good about,
because a lot of good is being done in that community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I can't remember in what context I heard it, but, you know, the power of practice and the structure and communication that would allow this project to be successful without people from the U.S. traveling over there for a year. That's incredible.
Isn't that extraordinary?
That is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but at one point, someone who works in development in Africa, much the same parts of Africa where we are, went to the project and was convinced, absolutely convinced, that those people were stealing from Living Compassion. That it's just a given. You know, there's so much, there's a percentage that just goes to corruption and theft.
Right.
That's just the way it is in these kinds of projects. And this person spent a good deal of time trying to find that that theft and was stunned to realize there isn't any. That these people are completely, absolutely trustworthy, loyal to this project, just as good and sincere as you would hope any family member is. And we cannot be there for a year, and it can all the communication can be done via Skype and email, and that staff on the ground is so capable and competent and honorable that it just cruises right along. We could almost feel unnecessary But because they love us so much, we still feel wanted.
Yes. Yes. That's great. And I'm excited about the direction of making Cantaloupe by Center for Learning English as well.
Oh.
That's really fun.
It's just been a dream of ours for so long. And in that way that people are starting to look to that community as leaders for what's possible, it is. One day it's going to be the place where people come to learn English, to fine-tune their English skills.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Really, it's a beautiful thing. So I hope everybody listening is inspired, and I hope everybody, me included, because I haven't signed up for the bridge walk yet. We can, and so I hope we all do very soon and follow along and make this bridge walk the most successful one we've had yet.
Yes, and with that, you're giving me a great segue into the announcement.
Good.
And that date is October 5th for the Golden Gate Bridge Walk to support this great work in Africa. It'll be the 12th year of walking across the bridge, dancing across the bridge, and enjoying being together with Sangha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a fun day.
It's a fun day. And also coming up, you and Ashwini will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle on August 29th.
It's true. Is that a Thursday? I think it's a Thursday evening. Yes, we will. So if anybody's in the area, we would love to see you there.
Great. It'll be a free talk based on you and Ashwini, your new book, I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It. And information is available on the East West Bookshop website. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events.
Very good.
Our call-in number today, 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'll enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And we'll focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Good. Thank you. I actually got some feedback. Somebody was kind of fussing about calling into the show week after week after week and not being able to get on, and they felt like we were spending too much time chit-chatting. So we're gonna try to straighten up on that score. It's true. If people, you know, if we stick with one topic, then we can talk to more folks.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
Yes. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael, and hi, Sherry. It's Beth Hinnan from New York City.
Hello.
Except I'm in Denver, Colorado right now.
Okay. Are you moving toward us here, or are you headed in our direction, or?
Well, I'm moving to Denver, Colorado at the end of the year, but I'm moving in your direction for October when I come out for the Visiting Monk program.
Excellent. Well, what's going on today?
Well, it's very interesting. Last time I talked to you was about the situation with my relationship and the infidelity and me staying with myself and having just a tremendous experience with practice and being available to mentor whoever needed to be mentored and just staying very present and staying very grounded in my practice. And it was a fantastic experience, mostly because I had done a month of work at the Visiting Monk program at the monastery.
Uh-huh.
So now we had a great summer with some ups and downs in the relationship, and now he's posted to Central America for 5 months. And we agreed to continue the relationship, and what happened after we had this immense, expansive, you know, commitment and, you know, everything that I've wanted in a relationship, you know, the whole commitment, and we're going to be true to each other, and we're going to go forward, and all of that kind of stuff. the day after he left, conditioning swooped in and started with, you can't trust him. You've got to get out of this. This isn't going to work. This hurts. This is too hard. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. And I watched myself and allowed myself to cry whenever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Just whatever the emotion was that was coming up with it, and not react on the conditioned, I've got to run away and I've got to, I just wasn't responding to the you've got to, and I just instead decided to express emotion whenever it came up. It was a tremendous leap.
So you stayed with your experience rather than going with conditioning's meanings.
Exactly. And what I came away with was just a tremendous amount of sadness being expressed, and sadness that was never allowed to be expressed pretty much my entire life, and the ability to keep living my life even when I was crying. I go to cook things, and I just would start crying, and I would just say to myself, I'm with you, Beth, I'm with you, you know, you're not alone. A lot of mentoring going on and just crying, and yet I would be hiking, I would be doing dishes, I would be talking to someone, and I would just start crying, and it was this very powerful, embracing kind of experience.
Uh-huh. And so when the tears would start, even with that, you didn't feel the need to get into a story or that sort of thing. It was just the emotion
probably,
was there?
Yeah, probably the story had been happening for an hour or two before that.
Uh-huh.
And then when I finally turned my attention away from the story and just looked at who was hurt, or if I could offer solace or comfort or warmth to whoever was hurt, then the story stopped and it was just this flood of tears.
Uh-huh. And did that affect the story at all? I mean, was it as persistent?
Yes, it was. But what finally came up and what I finally saw was a deep belief and sense of unworthiness, that I was not worthy of being. I wasn't the kind of person that he would choose, given that he's in a, you know, foreign land with people who speak, you know, Spanish, he speaks Spanish, you know, they're all international, they're so much better than me. You know, of course he's going to find somebody down there that would just be, you know, way better.
Uh-huh.
And this deep, I think it's the first time I've really seen how deep that belief runs of just not being good enough, not being worthy, not being worth someone's time and attention.
Mm-hmm. And Beth, when you look at it like that, do you have a sense that, first of all, obviously, it's karmic conditioning, self-hate, telling this story, right?
Yes.
And can you feel that story is being told to someone who's very young?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. There's visions from my childhood of authority figures telling me that I was not worthy.
Uh-huh.
And just hearing that same... It's not the same voice, but hearing the same message.
Yeah. So the message got internalized, and now that relationship exists inside. So karmic conditioning, self-hate, has someone to tell that story to who already believes it. This is just one more proof of what she has been told all of her life.
Exactly. And what was so amazing about last week was then once I turned my attention to that hurt young one and said, I'm here, you know, the mentor, I'm here. It hurts. I hear you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm, you know, you can cry as much as you want. It was just, it was just fantastic.
And so now what?
Well,
what are we going to do for this little person rather than leave her there in that awful place?
Well, a lot of keeping commitments to myself and keeping the focus on what Beth is doing at this moment has been tremendously helpful, and keeping up the recording and listening practice and my meditation.
Because the thing is, she is not going to ever believe that she is worthy until she knows it from you.
And I would love some guidance on that, if you have more to offer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about more guidance, but boy, can I say a lot on the subject. because what we believe, because of the way all of this happened to us, of course, is that so the injury came from the outside, came from somebody else, came from somebody who is big and powerful and perceived as right and important and worthy.
Right.
And so then that gets put in place, and as we know, the people who are giving a little child those kinds of messages, we could say those were certainly self-hating messages, but even if they weren't, by the time karmic conditioning self-hate gets hold of them, they are funneled into the self-hating system, right? So that young person becomes a source of energy for that self-hating system, right? So the one who is going to free that young person is the one who is actually a wiser, more mature, stronger authority figure than the ones who gave the original message. And that is the centered you. That's the mentor. Right? And that young child knows the difference between what gave her that message originally and what has been giving her that message all along, and the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates.
Yes.
Yeah, because no matter how young we are, when we get those kinds of messages, we know they're wrong. We may have to go along with them, and we may actually even agree to continue in that relationship, but we know it's wrong. Go ahead.
I remember feeling that as a young girl, that that I was special, but I didn't realize I was special to myself. You know, I was thinking, oh, I am special. Let me prove it to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me prove it to all those people who probably feel about me the way the ones who gave that message.
Right.
Right? Because, and that's what happens to us in that kind of trauma. So the projection then is that everybody feels that same way. So now I do have to prove that, no, that's wrong. This is who I really am. But,
right,
of course, none of that's necessary because nobody else is seeing it that way, right?
Mm.
Just those original messages and then that internalized process. But the internalized process makes it seem real and current to us.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that young person recognizes wisdom, love, compassion when she sees it. And she's actually not looking for it from, in this case, him. No matter who him is, it would not affect her. The only thing that can free her is you at center. When you are in touch with the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates, and in that place, bring her into that and embrace her, then there's freedom.
Yes, I can feel that. I can get a sense of that as you say it.
And then she, I don't know actually if she looks to him. I actually doubt it. It's just that that's the only thing she's been offered. And so what she really is looking to him for is rejection, because that's what she expects to get.
Exactly. So, and that's why the stories are so compelling, is that this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. 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 And the odds are really good, because it turns into a dance of fulfillment.
Exactly. And I am aware of that. So what I feel like I'm hearing you say is bringing the little one into the centered place of just love and acceptance and compassion.
Yes.
Whenever yes. the story starts.
And all the time. Don't wait for the stories to start.
Ah.
Just bring her in and have her live there. Because that's the movement that's going, so she doesn't need to be protected from those vicious stories. She needs to live in a different reality. And when she's
wow.
living in that different reality, those stories will have no effect on her.
Okay, so I'm going to call in another time to pursue that further.
Good, very good.
Yeah. As a practice. And maybe it's a, I don't want to, I don't feel like it retreat that I will be at in September.
Oh, good. Very good. And so one other little aspect of that is that what you're going to do actually, and this is for you and for everybody in the world, right? So
mm-hmm.
because we've been trained in the way we have, and we're constantly looking outward, to looking to other people, what you're going to be required to do is put her in the position that he's been put in. Because
constant focus and attention?
That's right. That's right. Because you can imagine, I mean, you know, here's the, you know, the proof. So as you feel, the way you feel when you suspect he has turned his attention to someone else, that's how she feels all the time.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I see that
mm-hmm.
mirror.
Because she's always been second choice.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
That's brilliant.
You can have a good time, huh?
Thank you, and thank you for saying a couple of weeks ago to please call in and be part of Sangha. That is was much of my impetus to call in. So
good.
I appreciate
good.
That
glad.
Reminder.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Year of Deepening Practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in San Francisco, or Palo Alto, sorry.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi.
How are you,
Wow. I'm so happy to get on, actually. I've gotten used to listening to the Tuesday call. I forgot that I was actually get on, but I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I had something planned, but I'm not sure that's what's arising right now. So.
Uh-huh. Well, take a minute and see what shows up.
Yeah. I think just gratitude. I guess I just want to express so much gratitude for practice, because it's just helping me in so many ways and just opening up so many doors to joy. I just, you know, even today, like I started a new Making a Change for Good cycle, and I decided my practice would be, because I'm kind of looking at anger, and anger is one area where I can get caught in conditioning quite a bit. So every time I feel angry at someone, it's usually someone else, I do a little dance of joy. Like I just shake my hips a little, like using conditioning against itself. And it just, it's like loosening it, and it's just shifting. And anyway, I mean, if it weren't for practice, I wouldn't, just that framework of use conditioning against itself, I find so helpful. So
yeah,
I think that's what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. What you're pointing at is something that I think doesn't get articulated a lot as a process. So much of, at least in my experience, I got, growing up and as an adult, a lot of information about how I should be.
Mm.
But I didn't get any information about how to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I knew I shouldn't be angry, but then I am. And so then, of course, the next logical addition is, well, I feel bad. And I feel guilty, and I try harder not to be, and then I just get frustrated, and, you know, it's just, you know, the cycle. And so to have a practice that actually gives us an alternative. So I know I don't want to be angry, so what do I want to be instead? Well, I want to enjoy. So what do I enjoy? Dancing. So there. When those feelings arise, when those sensations are there, then I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to dance with it. Boom. You can't dance and be angry. It's not possible, because first of all, it's fun and kind of silly, and it changes everything. And that is such a gift.
Yeah. I just, and, you know, sometimes it's like, yeah, I just kind of want to say, like, this really works. Like, what, I mean, it's hard when I'm around other people, and I just want to say, just try this, you know. I have to be careful.
We do. Because it's a whole process, right? The main thing that has shifted for you is the attitude of mind. So the anger is there. Instead of launching into that whole thing that you're supposed to do, it occurs to you that you have a choice. Right?
Yeah,
that's the real
right change.
And then
do
it. Then you take it, which is truly life-changing. I have a choice. Oh, I'm going to choose it, actually.
Well, and actually, and underneath that is kind of what, I don't know if you've said or where it's arisen, is that this is actually way more fun way to live. Like, it's not really painful to let go of that way of being. Like, it's actually a lot more fun to live this way.
Yes, and it's not hard. And, of course, that's my constant message, right? It's not hard. It's fun. But people who are mired in conditioning and not ready to hear that message just find that kind of annoying.
So it is good to kind of be low-key about it until it seems like somebody's ready for a different way of looking at life.
Well, what I do, I don't know if it always works, is if I am really not, you know, kind of going in that direction, a good direction, I tell myself, like, I'm believing something that's not true here. And I have to admit, probably my biggest challenge now is around sugar, and that's only one area where my practice is not ideal. It's just, I think, for a number of reasons, my sugar consumption has gone up considerably in the last 2 months. So,
Well, that maybe that's your next Making a Change for Good project.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, I just started this one yesterday. I mean, actually, today, the anger one is today's my first day of doing it. So,
yeah, you get that anger under wraps, and then you'll be ready.
Well, yeah, because I'm probably angry that I don't get to eat as much sugar as I want to. Anyway, I just want to express my gratitude and encourage people to keep calling in. You never know, you know, when you may end up on the show at some point unexpectedly.
That's right.
So.
That's right. You hear those magic words, you are unmuted.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we're going to hear from our sponsor now, Sherry.
Didn't we just?
No, we heard an important message.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fast. Okay. All right. Well, I'm open. So let's hear. All right.
I'll be
thanks.
Right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. I think you were correct, Sherry. That's why I played the coach's ad there.
I thought, am I becoming forgetful?
Yes, we're right on it, so that's good. And we have another caller here.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Hi.
Well, hello.
Hello. You know, hi. It's lovely to talk to you both. I'm really enjoying the show so far.
Good.
Yeah. And also just to say thank you for being there and for both of you being there. And last week I was thinking, I hope Michael had a holiday, but I don't.
Yes.
Because Michael, well, you're always there, and it's fantastic.
Yes. So I want to tell you that I was thinking about you today because I was looking at Binky and Star.
Uh-huh.
I was just going through the things that you sent and looking at them again and wondering how you were doing. So there we are. It's that kind of psychic thing we get going sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I can't remember which email class they came out of now, but it was the one with the jewel the jewel and the crusty layers and the jewel. And I was working on some of the Binking Star images today to put together just a little self-published book, you know, a bit like a gift book kind of thing. So, and I was thinking of you guys, and I was thinking, if I get this done, I'll get two copies and send you one. I haven't got very far with it yet. I was just preparing the images. I've been learning a lot about Photoshop.
The learning curve is a little steep, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I do all the artwork by hand, but then in order to get published on the blog, you know, I have to put them into Photoshop, and I put the text on using Photoshop as well. But it's really good. It is.
The technology is challenging, and yet it's so important, because all of these things that we're able to do, we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. I just did a bookstore event, and somebody was asking about the font in our books, and thinking back to the first however many of them that June literally wrote and drew by hand. And now to have all of the technology to just make it so much easier to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
And along that line as well, I remember, because is it so that the initial books were handwritten, so it would slow the reader down?
It's true. We still use that font for that reason.
Well, because I found myself, because I'm doing this thing where I'm making myself go slow, because I've really, 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 really got it that I want to enjoy every second of my life.
Yeah.
Whatever is going on, even if I'm not feeling very happy or things are stressful, I still want to be there for every second.
Yes. There's so much propaganda by karmic conditioning that we should only enjoy certain things. Right?
Yeah.
So if it's an emotion, if it's an acceptable, usually positive emotion, then we enjoy that. But everything else we can't enjoy. And yet that's not written down anywhere. This is our one life, and we have the opportunity to exist for this period of time as human beings with a full range of emotions and experiences, and why not enjoy it all?
Well, that's
because
it is what it's going to be, what it's going to be. And I found myself rushing towards the end, because I've got all so many Binking Stars now. And I knew it was coming. I could see that I was going to start rushing. But that's good, isn't it? I knew it was going to happen. And I saw it happen, and I saw it come. And it was, I can't spend forever doing this, because I've got to make the tea, and everything's got to happen at a certain time. And I stopped it, and I slowed it. And it's really, really hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like an immense will. But I'm on it. I'm really on it at the moment. So, And I want Binky and Star to be a part of the practice as well. So that was talking about slowing down.
Right. Again, that's the kind of thing that we have to really watch for, isn't it? Because karmic conditioning, self-hate, is always looking for things that it can use to pull us out of practice.
Yeah.
So if we're attending to bringing everything in our lives into practice, then that joy can be there, whatever is going on.
Phone went a bit crackly then, missed the last bit. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
That if we are focused on what you're saying, you know, that you want to enjoy every moment of life, then we want everything that we do to be practice,
so that it can all be done with that attitude of mind of enjoying it, not just listening to karmic conditioning say, well, that's not really practice, and you can't enjoy that, and, well, nobody's going to enjoy an experience like that or that emotion or those sensations. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, because it's all life. It's all my life.
Yeah, like I'm thinking, I don't care. I want to see it all. You know, I want to see it all. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to be here for every bit of it. I want to be here for every bit of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I'm in this really good place is because of the email class. So just to briefly say that, you know, I really, 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 really enjoyed it. And I'm still doing it, and I'm going to, you know, do lots more around it. But it was absolutely brilliant. So, thank you for offering it. It was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. And one thing about that that's amazing is, so I think the first Enneagram class that I did with you, when I spoke to you right at the beginning, and I thought I was a different number, and then I realised I was actually another number, and that's four, which is to do with true nature. And I've fairly recently come to the conclusion myself before that, that nature is the answer to everything. Nature is the answer to everything. I think sometimes I think if anybody were to ask me for any advice or anything, I would just say nature.
Yeah.
And then it was amazing it came up for fours. So that was good. Yeah, really, really good. So it's been really helpful because I was sort of already at that point anyway, so I was able to really, really take that on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, huh?
Yeah,
we have to continue meeting like that.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm going to sort of carry on looking at that anyway, definitely, I think, up until Christmas. And then, bring on the next email class. So, yeah.
Good.
So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you. And it's just so lovely to talk to you. And just one final thing is, that obviously I have problems and all of that kind of thing, like everybody does. But when I ring in, I'm just so happy. But I'm just like, I'm just so happy.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to say that as well. It's like, oh, it's great. So yeah,
it's always wonderful to hear from you. So I really appreciate your practice and your dedication to it over the years. And someday we just have to get you over here to the monastery.
I know. I think that is going to be one of the next. You know, like I was saying, I just really, really got it that I want to be present for every part of my life. I think that's finally. So I've literally, like, this last year actually had sort of one of my first sort of contracted permanent jobs. So there is some money now, and this year I've got a little bit of a promotion and a few more hours. So yeah.
It's going to happen.
So it's all looking good. It's all looking rosy.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thank you both, and thank you, Michael. Bye. Night-night. Bye.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna, in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Let's talk about dedicated sangha, huh?
Yes, indeed. And we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Hi. My name is Ellie. I'm in San Diego.
Hello, Ellie.
And hi. I was just up there for the There's Nothing Wrong With You a couple weeks ago.
Ah, well, welcome to Open Air.
Thanks.
What's life like after There's Nothing Wrong With You?
Awesome, mostly.
Good, very good.
I'm definitely finding I mean, riding on the wave after the retreat, it's like, oh, I can be present here and here and here. And the day after, the first day at work, I was offered a big, not a promotion, but nominated to be kind of a big wig-ish.
Uh-huh.
And it was a fascinating thing to sit there in the meeting and it's like, oh, I nominate you for this. It's like, and watch my emotions as I got scared and overwhelmed and excited, and I just sit there and watch it.
Instead of just caught in a wave and probably before long pulled under, you could actually be present to it and watch it all happen.
Exactly. And I wasn't sure if it was something I could do, and as I've explored it, like, the center is sitting here going, yes, yes, this is a great opportunity, and conditioning is going, no, no, you can't do this, it's too much, take on too much, and I just kept coming back to, no, no, I'm pretty sure that's what center is telling me.
Uh-huh.
Like when I settle down and listen to what my heart's telling me, it's like, this is the next step.
Uh-huh. This will be an adventure.
Exactly. And a really huge opportunity to bust up some of my, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, old messages.
Yeah, it's great, good, fun. To be able to see how that system of in self-hate, karmic conditioning, is devoted to keeping us in a place where it can manage us, where it can control us. So when there's an opportunity for something new and different, a way to see yourself in a new mirror and grow and change and learn and conditioning is not excited about that at all. In fact, what it wants to talk about is failure and in all of the ways it's not going to work and how it's going to be a mistake and that sort of thing. But if we really get it, that life is a learning, growing sort of affair, then and you get to see yourself in new ways in every situation, in every moment is an opportunity to step into life and feel the joy that's animating you, well, heck, what would we say besides yes?
Exactly.
No, we wouldn't say anything but yes.
And so it feels really kind of big and exciting. And when I sit with myself, there's like there's a big lump in my chest, and I'm just working. I don't know. It's just like being okay with that. It makes it, it's hard to be present with it.
Because
I'm scared it's too big for me.
The whole thing, the whole opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think that your heart is scared, or do you think somebody who's been believing the unworthy messages is scared?
It's somebody who's been believing the unworthy messages.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that part to speak, so I just end up sitting with a lump.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's possible to do some things. Under those circumstances, one is just to embrace the lump, to just surround it with loving kindness, with well-being, you know, that it's okay to be there. It doesn't need to mean anything. It doesn't have to be interpreted. It can just be there. And then if there's somebody, if it's a legitimate aspect of you,
who is feeling that, then you can encourage, you know, you can let that person know that you're open to communication. But if there's nothing forthcoming, if it just kind of stays a lump and there's a subliminal message that this is, you know, there's something wrong and maybe this is not the, then you might consider that it's not a real part of you. Yeah, but it's just
okay.
Stuck spot. Their karmic conditioning is latched on and is going to try to take a physical route to getting your attention and getting you to stop, attend to it instead of attending to the excitement of what's possible for you.
Yeah. Do you have any guidance for if it was ego, self-hate?
Yeah. If you embrace it and it doesn't seem to respond to that reassurance and comfort and welcoming and that sort of thing, then just simply stop attending to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just turn your attention.
Sounds so easy.
Yeah. And it actually is when we can remember to do it. So there's, you know, you feel the excitement of this possibility in your body, and that's a good place to keep your attention. So when the attention wants to stray to that lump, then it and you get the impression that it's really there trying to keep you stuck, then you just turn your attention to the excitement and the possibility and the reassurance and the, you know, because even the excitement of the possibility, it's not content related, right? You don't know what's going to happen with the work or know what's being offered to you, but you know that you are excited about the change in your relationship with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the really exciting part.
Yeah.
And you can stay focused on that through every moment of life, right? Because what you're exploring is just being with you with an attitude of mind of compassion and loving kindness as life unfolds for you. And holding hands and going into the great adventure, whatever
mm-hmm.
arises.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you were a little kid and life was big and scary and you just wanted somebody to be there, you know, a safety net to let you know that you're equal to it, you can handle it. And if you get scared, there's somebody to reassure you, and if you need encouragement, there's somebody there to offer that, but you want to do it yourself. That's the beauty of having a mentor, right? Because the mentor isn't going to do it for you. The mentor is just going to remind you constantly that you're equal to this task. It's your life. There's nobody better qualified than you.
Yeah. It's actually like I suddenly have this vision of myself just being present and doing what's there to do and enjoying the moment, and that's not how I've lived most of my life.
Exactly. Yeah, we have to work our way into that. That's exactly right. No meaning, no assessment, no comparison, no judgments. This is my life. There can't be a mistake. I'm the person most qualified to live it. I'm going to be here and do that.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You are so very welcome. Stay close, okay? Because, you know, that retreat is a big life-changing experience. And then, as you might suspect, the forces that are not excited about it are going to be arranging themselves to try to interfere. So get all the support you need, okay?
I'm definitely working on it.
Okay, excellent. Great to hear from you.
Gosh, thank you, Cherishly. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
All right, well, good night then.